Others, though, have a different opinion about what Senator Obama should do about Reverend Wright and race.
NPR News analyst Juan Williams is back with us on Fridays. Juan, nice piece in the Wall Street Journal op-ed page today. Headline is, "It's time for another Obama race speech." And I think the line that catches my attention most in this is, "Mr. Obama's strategies for dealing with the racial demagogues in his past have failed."
Well, you know, from my perspective, Alex, it's failed terribly, and it's why his favorability ratings have been going down, why Hillary Clinton, even as she is leaving this race defeated, is able to say that she's won most of the recent contests. You see headlines that say Obama slouches to finish line, Obama crawls across finish line. He needs to deal with this racial issue once and for all and get it out of the way. And he's got to do it from the heart, admit to his past racial sins, and ask other Americans to do so if they are to see him as a transcendent racial candidate, someone who can be trusted to deal with economic health care issues without regard for race.
Well, he did that in one of the best received speeches of the year, his speech in Philadelphia, in which he spoke directly about the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and what he had said in that church there.
Well, you're right. It was so well received, but I think it was wrongly received because people who were celebrating it thought somehow it had put Jeremiah Wright behind Senator Obama and done away with the possibility of Father Flager. In fact, it didn't do any such thing. He never once said, Alex, you know what, this kind of divisive racial rhetoric is wrong, it's racist, and it shouldn't be tolerated under the name of God or progressive politics. And he should have said, you know what, I was wrong to associate with those guys as I tried to make my way up in Southside Chicago politics, and then said, okay, so now let's move on. I'm asking you to see me as an honest man who's seeking your support for public office, your public trust. He didn't do it. And part of what I said in the Wall Street Journal was he's got to say, I'm not going to make out that every critic is a racist. I'm not going to play the old race card game that we're so accustomed to in this country. I'm going to say, yes, I have a liberal voting record. No, I don't have a ton of experience. But here's what I want to offer the country. And so he's going to diffuse the racial angle by saying he promises to stand above it and admitting to the sins of his past.
One, let's turn to another political moment, which was really interesting. It was in Politico today that behind the scenes, Charlie Rangel, the dean of the New York congressional delegation, 77-year-old congressman from Harlem, he basically, it seems in this piece at least, that he was the one who told Hillary Clinton to say, you know what, end it now. And did you find that interesting that it was actually Charlie Rangel who made the most convincing case to her?
I think it is interesting. You know, it's really, this is, again, you know, what happens inside inside is so often different than what the public sees outside in American politics, Madeline. And in this case, there were people in the Congressional Black Caucus, people like Charlie Rangel, became the most strident, hard-line Hillary Clinton supporters to the very end. And so it came down to people like Rangel being willing to speak directly to Hillary Clinton and saying, well, at this point, there is no argument to make for why you're in the race. It's making you look bad and contributing to party dysfunction. You've got to do something. And so for Charlie Rangel to say that to her, I think it came through with a special power. And I think that's what prompted the Hillary Clinton meeting yesterday with Barack Obama, as well as the arrangements for the Saturday meeting with her supporters, which she is to say that she is conceding defeat in the primary, although she's not ending her campaign. She simply says she's going to suspend it and go into the convention with all her delegates in hand.
Juan, your best political conversation of the week, a week in which a black man has secured the nomination of a major political party to run for president. What are people saying to you?
Oh, gosh, you know, being black in America, it's almost like you have a sense of, I can only do so much, I can only go so far. And for a black man to become the nominee of a major political party and possibly be president of the United States, it just blows apart all of those kinds of hardline frameworks that were limiting people in their minds, if not in reality, and says, you know what, young woman, young man, go for it. You know, it's possible. Despite the odds, you can do it. It's truly an incredible story. I think we're too close to it at the moment to fully appreciate it. And one last thing, Alex, I must say that on the Republican side, and we're not paying attention to John McCain, I had a really interesting conversation there about the people in his own campaign who felt so disappointed with his speech on Tuesday night, and that's the reason you're hearing all the talk about Lincoln-Douglas-style debates, hopes that a town hall meeting format will play to McCain's strength.
NPR News analyst Juan Williams. Juan, thank you again.
You're welcome, Madeline. Welcome, Alex.